Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren. Alongside me is Sarah Wells, Jane Fawcett, and returning. What?
Nothing.
And Kevin Tinkin is here as well. So I just wanted to try
out. He was here last week.
Yeah, but he was here, you know, not 2 weeks ago. I just didn't want to mess the intro up like Jane did the last couple weeks.
So I
was just going pretty simple.
She's sending you a scowl right now.
Here emotionally last week.
Yeah, we've got a good episode today, right, guys? I would feel like it's a good one.
Well, we don't know. We haven't recorded all of it yet.
But we're setting up for a good episode.
Absolutely. Setting ourselves up for success.
We've got our sermon discussion on yesterday's sermon called He is the Promise. Now, Sarah, did you listen to Jared's sermon?
I did.
Okay. Three of us heard me, correct?
Did you hear yourself?
I heard myself. And then we're going to interview some fun people, TJ Granada and Josh Martin, who are friends of ours. Kevin just met them for the first time. And then
I did.
Yeah. But you pretended like you knew who they were for years.
No, I didn't. I was just like, hey.
Greeting.
It's like, you know, like when you see the UPS guy, hey.
And then
I put my hand out like I'm ready for a relationship. But if it doesn't come, like, that's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine,
totally.
Too. And if, like, it says, hey, Kevin James Tinkin, how are you? And I'm like, oh.
Kevin James Tinkin, huh?
KJT.
That's the middle name.
Kevin James.
Can I share a story?
Is it about a car wash?
No, it's not. It's very short, but I wanted to say that you had, does John Getz listen to this?
No.
Oh, perfect. I'm going to blow him up right now. So you had much better good grace while you did your sermon this week than Deeper Sloot got last week.
Oh yeah.
Yes. So we're hanging out in the back because we played music, and John Getz is in here eating or whatever, and he's like, I don't know, he's a specimen, like he's just like the Statue of David. He's in good shape,
right?
But he just eats like a beast,
right?
You know, he's always seeing me. So literally, the service is about to start, and he rolls out there front row with a plate of food.
Shut up.
Deeper Sloot's up there preaching, you know, first time his whole family's like in the audience, you know, rooting him on and stuff. And John's over there. Like,
no way.
good sermon. It's a great sermon.
Oh my gosh.
John sits by himself too, front row. That's his thing.
It was awesome.
Jane also has a story for us. I'd love for you to share it.
Just a little haps of the weekend.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of this. I longboarded. On a long skateboard,
mm-hmm.
of type.
Other kind of longboarding.
Actually, yeah. Thursday night. It was pretty good. I am not good by any means, and neither is my elbow. Because when I went to get on it at one point, I put too much weight on my back foot and landed on the elbow.
Were you like bombing the four lanes or just like?
You know, just shredding the gnar.
Yeah. Was it a Sector 9 board?
Just hanging 10.
Was it a Sector 9 board?
It was a wobbly board.
Okay, so
that's
the old wobbly board.
I don't understand
boards.
Anything that was just said.
Shredding the gnar is a surfing term. Hanging 10 is when you go up to the top of your board and you just hang your feet on the very tip top of the board.
But I was hanging my toes. Like, I was curling my toes over the side of the board because I was so nervous. And
like a monkey.
Yeah.
And then you fell.
And then I biffed it hard.
She posted a picture on Instagram. If you don't follow Jane, it's at Jane Catherine.
You should.
And totally. And
wow.
Then we've
totally. I can say that too. Hey, hang loose, dude.
Now, at the end of the show, we will have a spout out. We got an email this week.
What?
We got an email?
This is so sad.
Oh, my gosh.
You should. Jeremiah?
No, you're just like, oh, another one? Great. So what?
I mean, yeah.
All the time, so.
Well, people, we don't toss out our email address much anymore. So.
Yeah, because no one emails. Except this person.
Yeah. So, and then this week's music, I just got back from San Diego. We took our high schoolers out to HUMSD, and it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in San Diego, I felt like the only band I wanted to listen to in San Diego was like some Blink-182 and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And because they're from San Diego. And so we're going to play some... Well, basically, it's not Blink. It'll be some Blink, some Plus 44, some Boxcar Racer, some Angels and Airwaves. All
wow,
Blink
old school.
Yeah, all Blink bands.
Hey,
but
nothing like making me feel old when I listen to your music selection.
Seriously, can I pick the music next week?
You guys can pick it every week. It's just you have
to
come to my desk and say,
us,
"Here's a flash drive
you need
of
to
the
give
songs."
Us the option to pick the music.
That's not how I roll. If you okay, want, if well, you want to come
I'm
to my desk
pick
with
the
music
next week because the last few episodes I've been skipping it.
Just fine.
Just bring it. Some music.
Just bring it. Just give me music on a flash drive.
And let's let Kevin pick it one time because I don't think you have picked it more than twice.
I just picked it one time, just that
we
once.
We got the funk.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you know that was like the best mix ever.
All right, well,
wait,
stay.
I thought I chose that song. Oh, that's right. When did you pick? You picked Something Funny.
I think you picked some Frank Zappa, dude.
Yeah, there's some Frank Zappa.
And some Dream Theater and some other bands.
James Brown.
Yep.
Is in there.
All yeah, right. Well,
Tower
hey,
Power.
We don't have that music today.
We gotta get Tower moving.
Maybe if you guys want to hear new music, you know, then someone else should be in charge of the show because yes. It's really difficult to do all that and then also work.
Are you in charge of the show now?
Hey, you know what else is difficult, Christian? Booking people to come.
Yeah,
in as
and
guests
I have very much appreciated
and
that.
And working and doing the show.
Yeah, and you know, Dave.
And then next week, doing the music.
No, forget it. Up next, he is. Sermon discussion. We appreciate Dave Johnson every week for setting stuff up.
And he never complains either.
He never complains. So thank you, Dave.
Unlike some people.
Stay tuned for some music that apparently everybody hates.
The nights we used to have, the days have come and gone. Our lives went by so fast, I faintly remember breathing.
And God spoke, reached out into the future and took every sin, even sins that haven't been committed yet, and took all sin, past, present, and future, and dumped them on Jesus. And Jesus paid the price for all of them. And what we do is we received that payment by putting our faith in him. And the question is, do you want to receive the payment that Jesus paid for you or not? It's your choice. But Jesus paid for all of them. Abraham, Noah, David, everybody. Us, me, you, we're all saved by grace through faith in the only one, by placing our faith in the only one who can save us. In Christ and the work of Jesus on the cross alone. That's it.
All right. That was a clip from PJ Sermon, a rather serious clip from PJ Sermon. So
yes,
let's just get right into it, guys.
It was really serious.
I love PJ.
No,
I love PJ.
PJ's a great guy.
But he takes you to a place. Definitely. He takes you to a place. And like right now, we were not there in the place. And then it was like we got teleported.
We were in the giggly place.
We got teleported into the place. And I was like, this guy's so serious right now. It's like,
no.
Oh,
so
he's saving
serious.
Souls. That's why.
I needed to pick a clip that it was the gist of not only his sermon, but I gave the sermon on Sunday morning to the North Campus. Jared was over at Clovis, and then Val, an intern at the Well, gave a sermon over at Fig, and I heard he did a good job as
and
well.
And Jared did North PM too.
Oh, Jared
right?
did PM. That is correct. Yes. And so, Jane, did you go to PM services?
I heard part of yours and all of Jared's.
Okay. And then Kevin heard mine, and Sarah heard Jared's.
Yes.
So the point of, I guess, the sermon was, it's called He is the Promise, and meaning that he is the promise of salvation all the way back from the very first sin. And so I could tell about the sermon, but why don't you guys give your thoughts, your understanding. Sarah, let's start with you because you heard a different sermon than the three of us heard, so... I guess you also heard Jared, so.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think back. I feel like every week I say the same thing, so I'll go and say it again. But
go for it.
I
do
like
it.
That that Jesus was even mentioned in Genesis 3, and I love that the promise was given then and then it was fulfilled later. And I didn't realize that until just a few years ago. And it just changed the whole way that I read the Bible, that Jesus is even in the Old Testament. And so Jared did a great job of setting up why we need a savior, why we needed a promise, the whole fall of man. He did a great job explaining it. And because if we don't know why we need a promise, then it doesn't make it, we won't really care that Jesus came if we don't know why we need it. Mm. So he did a really great job setting that up on why we need a savior. So
Yeah. I think there was a overlying theme between all of you guys too of he was plan A and there was no plan B.
Mm-hmm.
I liked your, because it was a football reference, I liked your like reference of Tim Tebow and how Peyton Manning was chosen for the Jets and the coach was like,
or the Broncos.
Yeah, sorry. The Broncos. And then the coach was like, what do you mean plan B? There was no plan B. Mm-hmm. When everybody thought Tebow would be plan B. But kind of gives a cool, like taking it back to the he is the promise, like just remembering that like the Lord doesn't make mistakes and like he foreknew everything before we even existed. And that was his plan all along.
Yeah. It's interesting, Sarah, that you, I haven't heard Jared's sermon, so I don't know, but like everybody in this sermon series takes a completely different route, but ultimately has the same general main point.
Mm-hmm.
And like my point was more or less to talk to the people in the audience who like, I guess feel like may have thought, you know, they, you grow up thinking a certain thing and the reality is like, that's not true. Like we grow up thinking that, well, God made a ton of mistakes and like the flood and you know, Abraham and Moses and the law, like all those were mistakes. You know what I mean? And that God finally got it right with Jesus. And so my point was really to like, no, this was always, this was what was set forth. And I feel like that was what PJ really went for as well in his Wednesday night sermon. I don't know, Kevin, what'd you get out of it? Or,
you know, I got out of it. I mean, exactly. I think I captured what was thrown my way.
Right.
Which is to say basically that when you read the Bible, like you take the Israelis,
the Israelites.
I want to call them Israelis.
They're from Israel. Go with Israelites.
Yeah. They're just different. You know, you read the story about they want a big, strong leader. They raise one up. He blows it. They tear him down. Mm-hmm. God puts somebody in place that's legit. They don't like him because he's not buff. They raise up a strong leader. He blows it. That whole thing.
Right.
And so reading the Bible or learning from the Old Testament, you're going, oh, so he puts it in place. Oh, I guess he blew it. I guess God made a mistake. And then you go, you know, kind of there. And that's just kind of like, you know, you reference the flood. You know, I guess God made a mistake with all those people, you know, and to just kind of reference the fact that there are references to things that will be happening in the future and referencing Jesus Christ, you know, as early as Genesis 3. And, you know, it's not, it's everything is laid out. It's
right.
It's all laid out like a towel.
Like a towel. A fleece. Maybe even.
Yes.
But I feel like, Kevin, you say it so naturally, but I would argue the reality is a lot of people don't understand that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And they grow up thinking something different, or you just...
You want me to be that guy? I'll be that guy. Well, that's awfully convenient. So you just say God just does it. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. No, God, yeah. You know, he wanted that to happen.
What are you saying?
That's the opinion that other people will have very often. Like, no, God didn't make a mistake. That's how he planned it. And like, revisionist history. No, it didn't. You know, he says you're just saying it because you believe in God.
Right.
You know.
Gotcha.
I think, like, looking at it from this side of things, knowing that it was all part of the plan, like, it that just shows, I think it proves that, to everyone, like God's power in a situation. Like, okay, I gave you a chance to be obedient. I knew you wouldn't be, so this is what's going to happen now. Or, I mean, same theme that we've talked about before, the remember, don't forget. Like, remember what God's done. Don't forget what he's done also. But just to remember, like, the magnitude of God and that sort of thing.
I also wonder if, like, I don't know if necessarily God, you know, was thrilled or whatever that people screwed up or whatever. But I think God's whole purpose was to really take mankind through it so they would recognize that the only thing that they need is a savior.
Yeah.
And this is something that, like, I have a group that I meet for coffee with every Wednesday, and something that we're really going through right now is just this concept of, like, we just really feel like we have to get better in certain areas in our lives, and we got to try harder in our marriages, or we have to go to counseling because that is the answer to our marriage. And these are all really healthy things. But we started realizing after, you know, a couple months of our conversations, none of us ever said, like, have you tried Christ? You know, have you tried just remembering the gospel? Mm-hmm. And it's become very, like, a thing that we try and do is just really point back to, like, the thing that's going to work first and foremost is you being humbly submitted to Christ. Mm-hmm. And you really going back to Christ and the foundation of why you became a Christian. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, all those things that you do for your marriage or for your personal life, whatever that is, those are going to work for a limited time. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have Christ as plan A, you know, mm-hmm. then really, like, you're missing the point of the gospel. You're missing the point of the promise made all the way back mm-hmm. in Genesis 3. Because
mm-hmm. if you do anything other than remembering who Christ is, then you're just doing behavior modification. Like, right. you're just learning the right words to say, or you're learning the right things to do to make your wife feel loved or whatever. But if you don't address the heart of the issue, then nothing's really going to change.
I think mm-hmm. it kind of, one thing that I see a lot is, like, in meeting with women, a question that comes up a lot is, why does God do bad things to good people? And it kind of falls in line with this of things that the Lord allowed to get people's attention. I still don't know the answer to that question. It's more I don't know how to explain it to somebody who doesn't mm-hmm. understand why did God allow this to happen to me, or why did God allow this situation to happen to my family? Because you can't explain it to somebody where they're going to say, oh, yeah, because God loves me and he's going to teach me something later.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I can agree with that in every situation either, though, that God allows all these terrible things to happen, you know what I mean? And then that's God's way of teaching people a lesson.
Right, but it does. It's that situation can be
certain
a situation
ones.
Where you can grow closer to Christ.
Sure.
And I think God could use any situation to draw right. you closer to himself.
Even good ones.
Are you talking about, like, you don't know, like, you wouldn't necessarily agree that God causes things to happen in order to grow, like, he won't, like, what do you...
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I don't think he causes certain things to happen, yeah. but that's my opinion. I think yeah. that in some situations, yes, and in other situations, no, but I think mm-hmm. that in every situation, God's going to use a good or bad situation, mm-hmm. and he's going to use it if you allow him to, for his glory. But
that's a promise. Like, right. I mean, he uses, this is such, like, a quoted verse, but, like, he really does use all things together for good. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've really struggled with before, is what does God allow and what does God plan? Mm-hmm. And, like, what things does he will to happen and what things does he just allow to happen and then he causes to glorify himself with later? Does that make sense? I've always wondered that.
I think we just have to understand we live in a very broken world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes sin allows things to happen,
yes.
you know? And this is a conversation Lacey and I have a lot. And it's like, man, I believe that God is in everything, but sin on earth is also in everything. And mm-hmm. so, like, we always can blame God for a situation. Like, God, why'd you allow that to happen? It's like, well, we allowed sin to come into our lives and sin happened, you know?
And this is sin-cursed world. Therefore, there's death, there's disease, there's
right.
a lot of things.
But yeah. there's also a side that people take, too, of, well, I didn't allow sin.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't my choice. So what do you say to that person?
What are you going
to
say?
I'm going to take it to a potentially extremely unspiritual realm.
But go for it.
Awesome.
My buddy JP, we were listening to a podcast on how things work or whatever. And there was this geneticist on there that were talking about how stuff works. What, do you like this?
I don't know why you
I was saying, I'll answer your question in a bit after, if Kevin doesn't answer it. So don't feel like you're left hanging.
Sorry.
Oh, no, I don't feel that way.
Okay. We're just throwing it out there.
No, go for it.
There's this geneticist on there, and they were referencing genetic research that had basically looked at the conditions in which fathers reproduce their children. So if you were born in So say I have a baby and I'm actually growing up in a society that's going through extreme famine.
Mm-hmm.
My actual, and some of these markers, these genetic markers, would affect the health and well-being of my grandchildren, actually skip a generation. And there was no, I mean, they were trying to eliminate outliers and things like this. But when I hear things like, well, why does these things happen? It's like, well, sin. And then I start thinking, well, you know, when Jesus meets the guy outside of the deal, you know, why is he blind? Or was it his father or he who sinned? It was like, no, like you're missing it.
Yeah.
And then, but I start thinking about that. And then you look at like the science behind things now, you know, there are some of the sins of the father that are passed down, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally.
You know, for example, I grew up in a broken home, you know, that happened based on, you know, sinfulness, you know?
Right.
And, but I don't know, like that, like you guys are talking about stuff. I don't know if I'm just not spiritual enough, but a lot of me is thinking like, stuff just happens.
No, you know, I land a lot in your camp. I think, yeah, I would argue not just stuff happens,
right?
But I would go, I think sin happens.
This is not like a printable version of my opinion. Stuff happens. Like, I'm not saying that. I just like, it's kind of, I guess it's a cop out to not have an opinion about it. But then when somebody asks me, why is my 6-year-old have leukemia?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a lady who has a 4-year-old who has a huge tumor in his head that actually weighs him down. He actually, his head limps to the side. Is one of my neighbor's friends. And I'm just going like, why is that happening? And then part of me thinks, well, maybe because the parents grew up under a power plant. And I mean, I don't like, you know, and then is that a sin? Is that like things? Is this even a spiritual issue? Like, does this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But then God's in control of everything. So I'm like, yes, no, thanks. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? It's just
totally.
It ain't easy.
These are probably some of the questions you get asked too, Jane.
Absolutely, yeah.
Keep in mind, this is not where the direction the sermon
went. Oh, we
kind of
took this.
We took a tangent for sure.
I mean, I'm sure, Kevin, you ask the questions all the time, like, why do I have gout? I mean, do you ever ask that?
Oh, gosh.
What?
I know.
Can I use you as an example?
Yes, you can use me as an example.
Okay.
Yes. No, I mean, I know that I have a grandparent who has a relative on each side that has gout. So
yeah.
It's just genetic. And I drink at least a handle a day. That's not true. That was a joke. I apologize to anyone that struggles with alcoholism.
I'm going to butcher this, but there was a war where they used Agent Orange to like spray, and that caused a lot of people to have gout as well.
Is that true?
Yeah. I did a study on it, research on it.
Really?
Because I had a math teacher who had the gout. And so like he was exposed to Agent Orange.
Agent Orange, is that Vietnam?
Punk rock band?
Right, was that Vietnam though?
Maybe it's Vietnam.
I mean, it might have been the Korean War.
Someone's going to get really upset at me.
It's going to be bad. If there's a historian that knows, please write in.
World War One.
No.
No.
All right, well, Dave's trying to tell us.
The Vietnam War.
Yeah, yep. So there you go.
Okay,
there we
Vietnam.
Go.
But yeah, so I mean, all this to be said, I think what we're trying to get at is that Jane, some of those questions I get asked those by junior hires in high school.
Sure.
It's like I don't necessarily know how to answer them. What
the only thing I was thinking, like, you know, I didn't choose to be sinful or whatever. Like, the only thing I think of is you never have to like teach a 2-year-old how to say no or mine. Like, you're born with it, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't like grow up, like become 6 years old and like, oh, I'm gonna start sinning today. Mm-hmm. Like, you've been sinning since you were small, you know.
That's because sin entered the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And yeah. So going back to the sermon, when sin entered the world, the very first time it ever entered the world, God says, because there's going to be so much sin and because there's going to be all these things that are going to happen in this world that are like that sin is going to cause, I am going to offer a relationship with me so that we can spend eternity with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And things are going to happen, but there is an opportunity for you to have salvation through Christ. You know what I mean? And so
yeah.
I mentioned it in my sermon, but people look towards the cross. We look back on the cross, and it's like everybody had an opportunity to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We could spend hours trying to debate why things happen to people, and then you get into the concept of like, well, do kids go to heaven if they don't mm-hmm. ever begin a relationship with Christ? And then there's the missionary question of like, well, what happens if you've never heard of Christ? Is God bestows grace upon them. And
does my cat go to heaven when she dies?
Yes, Millie will be there.
No.
You know, and these are really tough questions. And in my opinion, I think the best thing to do is to talk about these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And you, I would argue that Brad probably couldn't even give a response that makes people walk away and go, oh, yeah.
Oh, there's no response that everyone will feel great about it.
Especially to someone in the moment.
Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. Because in the moment, what they're asking is like not like for a real answer. Why does God let bad things happen to good people? They're just looking for hope. Like they're just looking for a good answer that's going to make them feel okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're actually looking for like the right theological debate, you know.
Because even someone who's like in like real sin, like adultery or whatever, mm-hmm. if they ask if it's wrong or not, they're not going to necessarily be satisfied with that answer unless they come up with it. If they approve of it in their own mind.
Yeah, they just want to feel better.
Yeah.
Well, and that's something that I talked about, and I think maybe everybody hit on it, but it's the concept of like, God really takes us through certain things to help us understand, like, look, we need a savior. And it's like, if you're in adultery, your life is only going to become so broken until you realize, man, I need to figure this out. You know what I mean? And that's across the board, but I think that I personally make mistakes a lot. And it's like, I have to start to realize myself, like, wait a second, I've got to stop putting up these laws or rules or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, I had this, I mentioned it in my sermon. It totally came off the cuff in my brain, but it's like, we set this rule of like, oh, I shouldn't watch TV after 10 o'clock because it's like, that's bad.
You know? Yeah.
And I started thinking to myself, like, I'm just setting these rules or these laws to prevent myself from, you know, acting on sin or whatever. But then on the backside, I go, man, do I ever just like rest in Christ and start my day off, I think, right in Christ and just recognize that, yes, I am going to sin and I have a savior. And if I can just humbly submit myself to him, I feel like then how I live my life is going to be shaped based on my submission to him.
Mm-hmm. Whether it be 10:05 or 9:55 and the TV is off or on. And
it's
not about that.
I shouldn't set a law for myself. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't set this new plan for my life. It's like, there's already plan A and I don't know. But I'm not saying those things are bad.
Yeah. I was just
Kevin turns the TV off at 7. So.
I do. There's nothing good on TV after 7.
Nothing good enough.
Except it's almost 10 o'clock.
I don't think it's bad to have
children are.
I don't think it's bad to have those rules. But I think what's bad is to apply merit to fulfilling those rules.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. You know, to saying,
I
only ate 3 French fries instead of the entire box. It's like, now I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're just less fat, which is, you know.
Well, eventually, one day, discipline or no discipline, I would argue eventually you're going to eat 4.
Yeah.
And you're going to fail. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's my opinion. But
laws, I mean, they're not salvific. Use that big word. Mm-hmm. Every time I use it, I feel like I have to use a lisp.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. They're good, but definitely not.
You just have to check your motives.
Like, yeah.
Strict adherence to rules is all fine as long as you have the right motives.
I just
pictured
myself as 10-year-old Kevin going, see, Dad? The pastor says I can watch TV after 10. You're going, wait, no, that's not the point. You know, like, you got it backwards. Like,
Yeah.
But are they asking the question then?
Mm.
And then the dad is able to, if the dad is humbly submitted, is able to tell his son, like, hey, you may not understand this right now, but like, my hope for you is that you would pursue Christ first, and that you throughout your entire life wouldn't live under these laws that all these people in the Old Testament did,
right.
When ultimately they had to look forward to was a savior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this goes back to the conversation of we had a couple weeks ago about you raising your kids and stuff. And I'm really just trying to figure this out because we raise our kids based on behavior modification, mm-hmm. right?
Moralism.
And I think there's something to the anatomy of a disciple in the sense of like, it takes moralism out of it. And I feel like it just pushes submission and it pushes humble submission to, I would say maybe God, the Father, your parents and your relationships. And I think what it does is if we can first understand humble submission and we can be biblically formed, we can form our kids biblically, then it doesn't look like behavior modification anymore. It's different. So I don't know. That's where I come from. I get the whole, well, see, he said I could watch TV, but.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's coming
from. I'm not a father either.
That's coming from a 10-year-old's mindset.
Totally. You know,
I mean, I'm not saying it's the right deal, but
isn't that playing devil's advocate? Isn't that how
10-year-olds?
Isn't that how you raise your kid? Because he hears that as a behavior modification type thing, and that if that's how you spend your time with your kid, it's everything's about let's modify your behavior, let's set up all these rules and laws.
I think rules are totally fine as long as you're sharing why and the heart behind it.
I think you can't set them up as spiritual always with the rules. You know, you can't completely spiritualize them. You know, obviously the rule to not look at pornography is a pretty good rule.
Mm-hmm.
But if that's all you're focusing on, as opposed to filling up who you are with positive things, you know, with Christ, and, you know, gosh, I'm trying to get the verse to come to mind. I'm sure you guys all have it there.
Totally. All three of us have it.
You guys got it.
I just keep thinking garbage in, garbage out. I think that's in the Bible, right?
Yeah, it's instead of don't dwell on these things. Instead,
set your mind on things above.
Oh.
Whatever is lovely, whatever is
there you go.
Excellent. Yeah.
Whatever is praiseworthy, think there about such things.
There you go. But, like, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's like you don't want the list of things, what can I not look at, what can I? You just want to do the focus. We're saying the same thing over and over again.
Right.
I did want to tell you something, though. I had a conversation with my mom. I feel like I talk about her on here all the time.
That's sweet.
Yes.
Tell me she wasn't at church yesterday.
She was not at church.
Okay. Because I remember the last story you told about, is that guy single?
Yeah. If she was, she would ask. I guarantee it. Bonnie
Christian
Jean likes confident. The redheads.
I'm confident that if Kevin's mom's in the crowd today, she's going to be super into me.
That was what I said before I got up there.
Is that, to build the confidence a little
bit? Yeah, totally.
No, I was with my kid. I was with my two kids and my mom. We were walking around the block, and I told my mom I said something to Will because he was being mean to Annie. I said, you know, what's more important? You know, you know, should we be kind to Annie because she's another person? Or who's more important, you or Annie? He says, well, I should treat Annie more important. I said, fantastic. And that was me mumbling for a while. I apologize. But I told my mom, looks at me and says, why are you doing that? And I'm like, because it's biblical. That's like our family verse. Like, that's the thing. You know, treat others as more important than yourself. She's like, I don't know if I like that because it really hurts your self-esteem. And I was like, bing, my light bulb went off. And I was just like, well, your self-esteem shouldn't rest in who you are. Your self-esteem should be rested in your relationship with how Christ sees you, you know, and you should dwell there. And my mom was like, that's pretty good. It's just like, really? Because that's rare that I can get her to agree with something that I said. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, we talked about that in the spout.
Well, this whole self-esteem issue, I think, is becoming like a big thing in our society and culture today. It's schools. Like you want your kids to have the biggest self-esteem in the whole wide world.
Right.
And even in a non-spiritual context. And so I can see how she can have that mindset from a Western culture just thinking, well, you're shooting their self-esteem down. But it's like, well, I don't know. We should all – our hope and our security should be in Christ. And I'll tell you what, when you're – I'm trying to think of the word. When your identity isn't anything but Christ, it is the most miserable thing in the world. And I have gone through that over this last year. And it's been very healthy for me to realize my identity is not in who I am at work, not in who I am in my marriage, but it's only in Christ. Mm-hmm. In Christ.
Did you guys all sing that song?
Yeah, we did.
Yes.
Oh, so did we.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Well, Kevin, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you should interview Will. Talk to him about treating others nicely. Bring him in here, dude.
He could say it. He knows the words.
Let's do it. Let's chat with him.
I'll bring him in.
All right.
He'll talk about Thomas. Or actually, he's into
Thomas,
Bobby
Bill. The doubter.
It's okay.
Yes, doubting Thomas. It's his favorite biblical character.
All right. Well, hey, that was good. And I know we got a little off track, but I feel like it's all there. It's all scripture.
It's all biblical.
All right. Hey, guys. I won't be here next week. So
why are you choosing right now to tell us?
Yeah, tell us at the end.
All right, well, I'll take it.
Stay tuned
the end
for an interview with TJ and Josh.
Enjoy some more San Diego punk. Welcome back. We are here with our new Spoutcast friends, TJ Granada and Josh Martin. How are you guys?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. TJ, TJ, do you want to speak?
TJ's frozen into my
I was just waiting because I don't want to speak at the same time. I know.
No, that's good.
That's a good rule.
Awesome. Jane and Sarah have that problem.
I've listened to the Spoutcast before.
Sarah,
that's why
than
I'm.
Jane.
Now, word on the street is that you're a fan, correct?
I'm a big fan. Yes.
Closet fan?
No, I'm starting to tell people I listen to it slowly.
Right. TJ was one of our first spout outs.
That's right. You were. Yes. Now, Josh, have you ever listened to the Spoutcast?
Yes, I have. Right. And I'm a big fan of the intro song by Moving Pictures. That's just a great song.
Is that who that band is?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
You don't know who our intro band is?
All I know is from the Hot Rod soundtrack.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. Okay. One of the best 80s soundtracks ever.
Wow, Josh, dropping some knowledge, man.
So proud.
Now, we wanted to get you guys on the show just because, one, we had Layla on last week. Did you listen?
I listened.
Was that all right?
Yeah, she was amazing.
Okay. But TJ we were
is Layla's husband, just yes. to let everyone yes. else know.
Yeah. Did you critique her when she came home, or was it real?
No, only encouraging words.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. What a good husband.
I think she felt weird, like, because we asked her so many questions about The Bachelorette. Was she cool with that?
She felt awkward, convicted, and a little embarrassed, but it was good.
She also texted me later and said she got pretty sweaty.
Yeah. Well,
she got sweaty.
Yeah. Well, actually, I was talking about her antiperspirant a little bit earlier,
yes.
and I ran out of my deodorant. I use Old Spice because you can get them cheap in double packs, you know. So I just
guy in the commercials too.
Thank you. And I had to borrow Layla's antiperspirant one time. I did not sweat. I promise my armpit for like 4 days.
It was like a desert.
You only have to use
cement.
You have to apply Old Spice like 2 or 3 times a day.
Okay.
Her antiperspirant. What? Once every 4 days at the max.
What
and you can use a loofah, scrub Ooh. With exfoliant, and it still doesn't come off.
Does it hurt?
Wow. What kind is this?
It's a over-the-counter medicated with menthol, oil
menthol?
Of Olay,
eucalyptus
Wait, possibly.
Over-the-counter?
Over-the-counter.
Okay, like you had. So does she had prescribed...
Oh, man.
TJ, tell us what you do.
I don't know why you would specify.
No.
I'm so happy TJ.
You know, she's just so she's so ladylike and sensitive about the way she smells that she wants to be 100% all the time, especially because she works in cubicles next to Jane.
Yeah, right next to me.
And so she just knows the importance of freshness, so she just takes
Very
it to the limit.
That was a really well-played answer.
Layla
TJ.
Would be the exact opposite of me. So, I mean, maybe I put deodorant on once every couple weeks. Oh, so,
what?
Do you promise?
I promise what?
You promise that you only put it on?
Yeah,
it's
Lacey.
It's because he uses ladies' deodorant and it lasts longer.
Oh, yeah. Now, do you have a loofah like TJ does, or is it just strictly?
You know, you don't want to ask me about my shower habits.
Let's
it's
move
not,
on to
it's
a
not
different
good because everyone will never listen to the show again. It's not good. It's unhealthy. So, now, how do you guys know each other? Let's, Josh and TJ, what's the connection here?
You want to take it or?
Well, I got invited.
That sounds like a couple. Hey, what's your guys' engagement story? Hey, you want to do this one or?
Yeah, I was waiting to hear a honey after that one.
Well, Layla has had to get used to, you know, a lot of times when it's just us three.
Josh, Layla's usually the third wheel when she goes out with Josh and I.
Yes.
But I was new at the well going through residency, and I heard about this UFC night going on with like all the cool meatheads at the well. And I said, man, I got to be there. So I went over to Josh's house. He was living with a couple roommates.
Yes.
Mom and dad.
Yeah.
And so I lived with my mom till I was 29. So hook it up right here. Yeah. Saving up for a wife.
That's right.
Yeah. And so anyways, I went over there and this guy barbecued like the best barbecue spread ever. So if you ever have a chance to go over to Josh's house for
seasoning.
Barbecue, go for it. And I was a little intimidated. I waited to sit down until everybody sat down. I finally sat down and hung out. And Josh was
stand and look at everyone until they all took a
seat. Guys' biceps were like the size of my face. All of them. But they were really nice and welcoming.
The biceps were really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, their personalities.
Their biceps are really nice.
And Josh was just a great host. And he, ever since then, we've kind of been inseparable.
Bromance?
Definite bromance. I mean, we got a lot of similar interests as far as clothing choices, activities.
I feel like this is a relationship I don't have in my life. Like, when you talk about
the connection was there. It was like, oh, you kind of dress like, oh, okay, cool, you know.
And you know, a Structure later, you want to come?
Absolutely.
I still have a pair of underwear from Structure that I got in seventh grade that is still my favorite pair.
Isn't Structure called something else?
Express.
Yes. For men.
So pretty much it's like an antique pair of chonies, and you wear them just because... That's a solid choice.
Can
I mean,
we
when
say
people
chonies on here,
yeah, okay. Well, when you bend over and someone sees the Structure tab, what would your reaction be?
This guy's baller.
Yeah.
Now, Josh, are you into cars or not necessarily?
I'm into cars that work. I've never been necessarily one that's huge into old cars, but okay. I've taken a couple rides in TJ's hot rod, which is awesome. Didn't you just recently install the flux capacitor too?
I did. It took a while, yeah. But. I just got it installed.
Nice.
What is it?
88 miles an hour.
No, gigawatts.
17.5 gigawatts.
There we go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, it's 1.21. But
there we go. Yeah. 1.21 gigawatts.
That's right. I got scared there. Don't. If you put that many gigawatts in 17,
it's no good.
You're in another dimension.
So you've just kind of learned to appreciate cars through TJ.
Yes. Because
TJ is you're a car guy.
I'm a car guy.
Yeah, and but you're let me get this correct. If I remember our conversation, you are a before 1945 car guy or 35?
You know, I prefer pre-49.
49.
But that's just my preference, but I love all types of cars, new cars that come out, so
okay.
But just my taste,
pre-49. I'm assuming you're not a fan of the Prius though.
Oh, actually, that is what I'm saving my nickels and dimes for.
Oh,
is to
wow.
get Layla a Prius.
Really? What about a Leaf, a Nissan Leaf?
My best friend, Nodder, has a Leaf, and he has the world record at Laguna Seca for all electric cars, and he drives a Nissan Leaf.
Wow. Is this the guy that you and Layla borrowed the smart car from earlier?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Trying to sell it for him.
I was trying to sell it for him. I never sold it, and we drove it for 2.5 months, and it was awesome.
Now, no offense, but I mean, when those first came out, I mean, they're cool. I understand gas saving and everything, but the first time I saw one, did any of you think this? Is that Steve Urkel? Is that the local car?
Oh, in the smart cars,
yes.
Not the lease.
The smart car, yes.
Oh, totally.
Except it has four wheels instead of three.
Yeah, because Urkel's car had three.
He did have three.
And
it opened from the front. It opened.
Yeah.
Hey, before you guys hate on Steve Urkel, does anybody know what car manufacturer made that car?
Urkel.
No.
Stefan
Urkel.
That was a BMW.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, that's a BMW.
I believe it.
Oh, man. I guess I suck.
Does anyone else think Priuses look like dinosaur eggs?
Nope.
Just you, Tara.
Take a look. Next time you see a Prius, look at it and you'll think, I see a dinosaur egg.
Have you ever seen a dinosaur egg in person?
Have you seen the show Dinosaurs?
No.
Knock the baby. What was that?
Yeah.
Knock the baby. Gotta love me.
Now I've seen it.
So, TJ, you have a car show coming up that you are... What is your role in the car show? And maybe explain a little bit more, and then we'll get to you. All right, Josh?
Sounds good.
All right.
No, my role is... the hot rod scene in Fresno, the average age for a hot rodder is 62 years old in the Central Valley. And these guys are most often connected now at funerals, which is pretty sad, mm-hmm. You know. So I just wanted to create an atmosphere where they can get together in a healthy spot and where they're not charged an arm and a leg to show their car. So I kind of reverse engineered the whole idea of having them pay for the event, and so they get to come in free. Spectators come in free. We do different unique themes at every event, and it's worked out pretty well.
What's it called? What's your organ? Or do you have a?
Yeah, the company's called Hot Rod Coalition, and our event series is called Rods on the Bluff. The first Friday night of every month, there's a free hot rod show out on Palm and Knees behind GB3, and it's over
from when to when?
From 6 to 9 o'clock.
Okay,
it's over 400 hot rods, 30 vendors, and 3,000 walkthroughs, and it's a blast. It's a lot of fun.
I was one awesome. Of those 3,000.
Yes. Jane has been out there. Greg Zeffalato's been out there. The Denise's, ooh. The Beeries, all kinds of people come out there and just enjoy it.
Name dropping, dude.
Rick Taylor.
Rick Taylor?
Rick Taylor has Ricky been seen T? Out there two wow. of the three what? Times. And he just walks around and kind of barely hovers over the car and just blesses him.
He wears gloves.
Yeah. He wears gloves.
The force is strong with him.
Yeah, and uh-huh. sometimes he'll just go up to the hood emblem and just take a little blow on it, and then all of a sudden that car is
gold.
Tripled in value.
Now, for our listeners out there, TJ, you are not like, your profession is not a car guy. You don't fix cars. You don't, like, this is all hobby, correct?
This is all hobby.
And no. What do you do, you know, during the day?
I'm a fourth grade teacher at Freedom Elementary School in Clovis Unified. So,
do you guys eat Freedom Fries there?
We don't eat Freedom Fries. I have a question for you, though. Yeah. Our mascot at Freedom is the Trailblazers.
Oh.
If you had to draw a picture of a Trailblazer, what would it look like? Because I really want a Freedom mascot.
Covered wagon.
Yeah, okay. Isn't there a Trailblazer kind of car?
But you don't want
they don't make Chevy. It anymore. It's a Chevy, right? Yeah.
But if this is if a Trailblazer came in a human form, obviously they blaze trails.
Davy Crockett looking guy, yeah. Johnny Appleseed.
So he'd be like a pioneer.
What is the Portland Trailblazers mascot? What's their like?
Well, now they go more by like the Blazers, and it's more of like a fire theme.
Okay.
Fire, huh?
And most of
I
like
think American Gladiators, the Blazer, wasn't that one of them?
Yeah, I think that was one of them. Yeah.
It would be good. How do you blaze a trail? Like that isn't
it would almost be like a guy running with like fire behind him.
Okay. No fire in front of him.
Fire in front.
Because that's blazing the trail. Yes.
I think you guys need a new mascot.
Does it insinuate that there's a trail that already exists that you are blazing on?
Now we're getting into some other things, some other connotations with blazing. All right, so Kevin, why'd you take it there?
Oh, wow.
Kevin, you really took it there with blazing? Huh, come on.
Christian, come on. You're the one who
cut him a break. Okay, I'll show you what the Portland Trailblazers guy looks like.
Oh, we have now.
We've got video cameras in here. He's a cat. That's right. He's like a tiger type.
With red shorts on and a shirt that's fire, red fire from the bottom, and then it's black. And he's spinning a basketball on his finger.
So that should be your guys' mascot.
Or his paw. Hmm.
So fourth grade, you teach all subjects or?
Teach all subjects. I love teaching writing.
Okay.
And I think I have the best job in the universe. It's awesome.
Now, Josh, you are, correct me if I'm wrong, something with maybe insurance? No.
No, not insurance.
Oh, wait, medical sales.
Yes, correct.
Okay, because my brother does medical sales, and somehow I knew you do a very similar job to what my brother does.
Yeah, similar.
So explain your job.
Basically, I work for a company called Dynasplint, and we do splints for range of motion. So if you have an injury or something happens where you can't straighten or bend one of your joints,
right,
you get a Dynasplint and it helps stretch it out.
So that's essentially what my brother does. Have you ever heard of Semper Fi? Semper?
Nope.
That's the Marines.
Santa Fe Advantis.
Marines?
No, never mind.
Santa Fe Advantis.
Never mind.
Semper Fi? No.
That's the only thing Semper Fi is Marines.
Yeah.
Okay, well, he sells like braces and things for like things like that.
And he's not in the
Do I need a brace for my elbow, Josh, from my longboarding?
No, I don't think you need one for a bruise, but
There's road rash.
Maybe elbow pads.
Jane got a little football injury this past.
It wasn't football.
And a helmet.
It's skateboarding. Now, Josh, you're also a football coach, correct?
Yes.
Where at?
At Mount Whitney High School. That's kind of my hobby. TJ's is cars. Mine's coaching.
Where is Mount Whitney?
That's in Visalia, California, so just a couple miles down south.
And you're decked out right now in your Mount Whitney football gear.
Yes.
So does that mean you're going to practice after this?
I am. Well, you guys get to stay in the nice air conditioning. I get to go on the field, and we have our summer practices right now and getting ready for
the
season.
What do you do when it's like 108 outside?
A lot of water breaks.
Salt pills?
For me,
salt tablets?
For me at least. The kids, they just practice. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that seems like torture.
Now, before we were on air, Josh got here a little bit early. I don't know if you guys told him the wrong time or he's just a really on-time guy.
I like to be punctual.
Good. Now, Josh was telling me you used to be a little bit of an amateur boxer, correct?
Little and amateur, very, very much so, yes.
And I hope you don't mind me sharing this, but what's your career record in boxing?
My career amateur record was 3-1.
Now, three fights knocked guys out cold, or?
One was a knockout. One was it was just a count out, and the other one was a TKO.
Okay. So. I remember TKO from Mike Tyson's punch out.
Oh, yeah, Mike Tyson, yep.
So, your last fight, though, however, something else happened. Can you explain to us what happened?
So glad you're bringing this one up. So,
hey, talk about the one that
you didn't win.
You sure you don't want to hear the one that I really won? Oh, okay, whatever. So basically, it was down in LA way before I moved up here. I grew up in that area, and I had been doing it for a while and kind of got, you know, a couple wins under my belt. And so I finally decided to invite some of my friends. And I'd been not wanting to do that for obvious reasons. And But I kind of, you know, had a little confidence, maybe a little overconfidence, but, you know, confidence nonetheless. So, anyway, I start fighting this guy, and he had a real kind of awkward fighting style. And
how many rounds did you were you going with this guy?
This was in the middle of the, I think it was the second round.
Okay.
So, you know, I was winning as far as on the points, and I let my guard down for a split second, and next thing I remember, I was opening my eyes, looking up at the lights.
And you're just knocked out.
He got me. I dropped my guard. He got me right under the chin. And
now that was it, huh?
That was it.
Career over. Did you have any teeth?
No, I didn't. I had my mouthpiece, which conveniently my buddies pointed out and videotaped that when I was unconscious on the floor, as I was breathing, every time I'd breathe out, my mouthpiece would kind of come up as I would breathe out and then go back in. So I was out cold. There was no getting around it.
Now, this is the question that I asked you earlier, but like, I just feel like going out with a loss is such a tough thing to handle. Don't you feel like you should get back in one more time, kind of Rocky style?
You know, well, now with the music playing, I don't know.
Don't have much of a choice.
You know, we all have wins and losses in life, and, you know, either you can avenge, you know, a loss, or you can
like
just
the
learn
Avengers.
From it. Like the Avengers, yes. Big fan of that movie. Mm-hmm. But or you can just kind of take it and learn from it, and that's what I did. I learned that I do not want to box anymore, and that was it.
But I can box you, right?
Yes, absolutely.
I would like to set up a match
out the gloves
between
a couple
you
times.
And
time.
Who would be in your like weight class at the Well?
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like we should set up
Tyler
a Well
Huff.
Boxing match.
Yeah,
Tyler Huff.
Tyler Huff. Tyler's a strong dude. He is a strong dude.
What do you think, TJ? You ref? Hey, I got
this
it.
This would be so weird.
Hot rods and fights.
Oh, dude, and that's
now,
the theme.
Now, any time that I've wanted to box somebody but knew I was going to get my butt kicked, I always challenged them. And then the second time, the second rule was we had to get one of those inflatable boxing rings.
Oh, yes.
With the gloves the size of a Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And that way, everybody's got a fair chance.
I would
what
agree.
Do you think
the
about
the, you mean the bigger gloves?
The bigger gloves. Yeah. Because I've learned if you put your dukes out, you know, parallel with the mat, and you start at the corner, and they say go, and you run as fast as you can, and he's getting ready for you to, you know, swing a right hook at him. If you just let both those puppies straight out,
that's true,
and you Superman him like that, you get so much velocity. I actually punched a kid out of the ring in eighth grade at Kasner. Nice.
Were you in eighth grade?
I was in eighth grade.
He was a teacher.
It was his last semester. Yeah.
Well, it depends on if the person you're fighting has the reflexes of a jungle puma or not. Then you got to rethink your strategy.
Are you saying you have the reflexes of a jungle puma?
I thought you do. Or
Jane,
is it Sarah?
You for sure do.
What?
It's Jane.
It's Jane?
Well, obviously not.
Josh, if you were boxing Jane, where would your first punch be?
Hey, ooh. I had the gloves on.
Right in the face.
That time. Yeah.
Okay,
so
but
hard
would you?
This is a trick. However, I answer this, I'm going to be in trouble.
He's going to go for my ribs.
No, just say face.
Okay, face.
I'm
right in the face.
But she got new makeup today, so like she'd be fine. Yeah. She could cover it all up.
Would you wear it?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. Now, this Mount Whitney football team. Do they ever play Fresno teams? Could we ever see your team play?
We used to. We play actually. My roommates. Team Sanger High School.
Okay,
we play them. I think week.
Is your roommate Justin Meslow?
Yes, he is.
Oh, sweet.
So that week and last year was funny because it was the first year. You know, we were there first time playing Sanger, and so we have a little armoire. Yes, I know what an armoire is. With you know, little glass cabinets, and we had both put. I put my Whitney hat in there just to put it. There's you know nothing, whatever. I put it there a week before. Mm-hmm. Then, like, you know, the week of, all of a sudden there was a Sanger hat in there, and I thought, wow.
It's on.
Yeah, okay. I guess he did catch what I was trying to do. So, but it was good. You and Layla came to that game.
Yeah, what happened last year when you guys played Sanger?
We won.
Yeah, Mount Whitney took it to him. I tell you what, though, if you want to see a good football game, Sanger, like, the whole town shows up. I've never... Yeah. You know, you go to a track game, and you know those games are really big. Well, no, sorry, track is the league, not a track meet. So you go to like a Buchanan or a Clovis West game, and it's packed. But there's nothing. I mean, Sanger brings out the whole town.
They got a great stadium down there too. Speaking of big games, though, we have this is just a little fun fact. I didn't know this up until this last week. Mount Whitney and our big rival is Redwood High School.
Okay.
And we have the Cowhide game, Jane.
I have
you
a shirt.
There. She
as
has a shirt,
do I.
And Sarah does.
Okay.
Came to the game. And that is one of the longest running rivalry games, not only in the state, but I guess it's in the top 10 in the nation.
Really?
And then I just found out recently, my dad's the head coach, and I'm just, you know, one of the assistants, but they're going to be documenting it this year.
Wow.
That's cool. So I just found that out, which is kind of cool, but
I'll make sure I wear my makeup.
I don't know. I don't know who.
I think his last name's Spielberg, but yeah. I can't think of his name.
Spielberg or Bruckheimer. I can't remember. Yeah. Well, something with that.
Well, yeah. Hey, I appreciate you guys coming in. And TJ, Friday night, 6 to 9, GB3 over in Palm Bluffs, correct?
Park Place.
Okay.
Shopping center. I get in trouble because I mess that up all the time.
All right.
And it's on right behind GB3 on Willow and Knees.
And then Josh.
Palm and Knees.
Palm and Willow. Sorry, that's, yeah, sorry.
Why I'm sneezing so much. And then, Josh, if we want to catch one of your games next year.
You can look on, you can look on basically on maxpreps.com, and they have our schedule there, or the Mount Whitney website.
And there's a bunch of us that go to his games. Last year, there was a group of us that went to all the home games.
I agree. And I got to say, especially these girls right here, there's a big group of people that came in that game, our cowhide game at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. It was pouring rain.
That night.
That was cold.
It was cold. It was wet. There were still 12,000 people there, mind you.
Wow.
But they were there in the rain cheering on their friends. So.
Telling you, it was cold.
Well, check that out. And we thank you guys for being here. And I hope you guys will continue to listen to The Spout.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Oh. Jinx.
Jinx. Jinx.
From my nightmare, the shadow in the background of the moor, the unsuspecting victim of darkness in the valley. We can live like Jack and Sally if we want, where you can always find me. And we'll have Halloween on Christmas, and in the night we'll wish this never ends. We'll wish this never ends.
And we're back, and we have an email to read.
Let's chat about what the email address is.
Electronic mail.
Oh, you guys, if you want to write into us at thespoutpodcast@gmail.com.
Now, Sarah, before you get into the email, do we hit a milestone today?
We did. We hit a major milestone. We now have officially 150 likes on Facebook.
What?
That's right. We don't ever push our Facebook.
No, we don't. All natural. We used to push it.
We did used to push it every single week, but yeah, not so much anymore.
Right, exactly.
We have a lot of fans on Facebook. We're up in the 60s now. Or not on Facebook, on Instagram. We have up to like 60 followers.
How many know that? On iTunes?
Oh, yeah. Well, do we know that?
I don't know subscribers on iTunes. Okay. But we probably get, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 listeners a week.
Yeah,
so
big. Pretty just big. Guessing. Rage and just escape. Okay.
So who's our email from, Sarah?
Our email is from Daniel Pernice, right?
Danny.
Yeah, we had him on the show a couple months back, him and his wife.
Yep.
And Debbie.
And Debbie.
Yep. And here's what he says. He says, been a while since I've written in and just wanted to say that I seriously look forward to every Tuesday. I know I'm not as hardcore as some people who listen to on Monday nights.
Stop. I believe he's our most hardcore fan. So I just want to give him the credit that he deserves.
And the person who listens on Monday nights, the one who told Karen about duck hair.
Oh, that's Chris Hensley, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I heard.
All right.
Wow. When I get to listen to a new podcast. Okay. Great sermon discussion as always. Oh, and tell Kevin that I do the same thing when I meet someone. I'm literally shaking hands with the person and then I start talking to somebody else. It doesn't make us bad people. We're just multitasking, albeit in an awkward situation, but still. I bet Kevin is an achiever persister. Are you?
Definitely not an achiever.
Thanks.
You don't get anything.
I mean, look
then.
At what he's wearing.
Is there something? Is there a potato chip eater?
He also says, by the way, Christian, great job on your sermon the other week. I thought you did a great job kicking off the sermon series and unpacking what it's all about.
As do we.
What did I say, Sarah? I asked you not to read that.
But
part
we want to. We yeah. want to give
Here's
you
to
a
you,
spout out,
Mr. Sermon Speaker.
Yeah.
We did this in Hume SD. I think I told you this, but they do. Do they do this thing where they invite all the youth pastors up on the stage. Mm-hmm. And basically all the youth pastors get up there and you're supposed to like say where you're from and what church, who you are and what church you're from. So you go like, I'm Kevin, I'm from New Oaks Church, or, you know, I'm from Suncoast or whatever it is. And so like you say like, I'm Kevin and I'm from Sun Valley. And then everybody goes, woo! You know, they like cheer super loud. And like, it was, I was second to last in the line. It was the most awkward experience. I wanted to get off the stage. I didn't even want to go up. Parker said you shouldn't have walked up there because nobody would have known. And we tried to organize it, but half of our kids missed out. But we tried to organize, like, I get up there and I go, I'm Christian, I'm from the Well, and then just crickets. And then like Lance Roman would go, boo. But half our kids stood up. So it was like this, like, I said, I'm Christian, I'm from the Well. And then like silence, but then like about six kids stood up and was like, woo! And then then the rest of the kids were like, oh, maybe we should cheer. Woo! It's like so awkward. So next year we'll do the silent.
Got it. Boosh. Yeah. Okay. Can I give a spat out? I didn't run this by you guys. Our Cafe Ada person at Clovis, she runs all Ada. Her name is Sarah Hubert, and she's also one of our Clovis Life Group leaders. She listens every single week, and she said she had to pull over the car because she was laughing so hard at your car wash joke.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I got a couple comments on that. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll comment on Jane's Thrashing joke this week.
Totally
so.
Thrashed. Yeah.
There's a great movie called Thrashing out there about Borden.
I'm in it. Didn't you see me?
I guess not. Now, before we go, I will be gone next week, so hopefully I'll get you guys set up for next week so I don't have to be here.
We can set ourselves up.
And then, Sarah, you're going to be gone soon too as well, right?
In like a month.
I thought at the end of this month, correct?
Beginning of August.
Okay.
Yep, I'll be in London.
Yeah, she will be in London. And then
I'm going to come back with a British accent.
Good. Well, hey, guys. What?
Way to just
good.
Jump
all right.
Over that one.
Great. Nobody cares.
Know what she just said?
No one cares. That's basically what
you
just
said. You said good?
I'm going to speak in a British accent.
Close. I'm going to come back with a British accent.
This is the spout.
And we're out. See you next week, Dave Sather.
Slowly faded like mail that's never dated from towns to bars.